That was a very inspirational song service today, and it's a joy to be able to stand before you on this beautiful Lord's Day morning to welcome you to our services here at Del Rayta. We're very glad you're here this morning, and I see several out in our assembly today who are our guests, and wherever you're visiting from, we want you to know how thankful we are that you've chosen to be here this morning, and I hope you'll come back and be with us anytime you have an opportunity. I know a lot of folks are battling the sniffles and the flus and viruses of various kinds, and I guess that'll continue through the winter, but we want to perhaps look around us and see who's not here and let those folks know that we did miss them today. We do need to remember the family of Coleman Boyd. This, of course, is the father-in-law, the stepfather, I should say, of Martha Ann Henry, and that funeral service is going to be tomorrow at Leak Memory at 2 o'clock, and the visitation will be an hour and a half prior to the service. It will begin at 12:30. So let's not only keep this family but all other families who have suffered the loss of loved ones. Let's remember all these in our prayers. We're very happy to announce that Charles and Michelle Brown are married 18 years as of today, and I guess we announced that because it's Valentine's Day. Now, if neither Michelle nor Charles die or get a divorce, then they can hopefully one day match the record of Walt and Jean Spiro, who have been married 62 years today. Now, that's the key there to longevity in marriage. If you don't die, if you don't divorce, you're going to make it. That's a guarantee. But we want to congratulate Walt and Jean for being married 62 years today. And you might want to take a look at Brother Walt's tie if you have an opportunity today as well. Also, Jerry and Brooksy Wynn are celebrating their 61st anniversary today. So congratulations to each of these, and certainly that's an encouragement. This morning, Brother Larry Stowe read about the golden rule, and if I were going to practice the golden rule, I guess I would go ahead and preach about the golden rule as I had planned to do. But as I reflected later on this week, earlier in the week, about all the snow that I saw up at the Fried Hardeman lectureships and the snow we had on Friday of this week, an incredible sight to see, I kind of changed my thought process just a little bit and decided to maybe think about the wintry weather, some lessons that we can learn from the snow and from the wintry weather that I believe can help us and encourage us as Christians. Now, that's one reason why I like to live in Lower Alabama, L.A., because I really don't care for the cold weather. I really don't like the snow. Whenever the temperature drops below 60 degrees, it kind of chills me to the bone. So I don't care for the cold weather. And to be honest with you, I'm a lot more concerned about global cooling than I am global warming. But that's another point for another time. But I believe there is some lessons that we can learn from the temperatures that we've seen, from the snow that we've observed, and certainly it was very, very beautiful. So I hope today that we'll think about and reflect on some of these lessons that I believe that we can learn. First of all, today I want us to look at Psalms chapter 147, beginning in verse 16. And there the Bible says, He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down His crystals of ice like crumbs. And then we have the question, who can stand before His cold? Now, there is much that is said about wintry weather, especially when it becomes colder below the normal temperature. But the psalmist here, I think, raises a question when it comes to the cold. Namely, who can stand before it? Now, if you look up at Psalms chapter 147 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Great is our Lord, almighty in power, his understanding is infinite." Now, if you're like me especially, cold weather can be very uncomfortable at times, and yet cold weather provides great benefits to the earth. It provides benefits to man. Certain fruit trees, for example, require a particular amount of cold in order to produce properly. When it comes to the weather, we may be able to give reasonable predictions about the future of snowstorms or cold weather and so forth, but is there anyone that is able to control the weather? Can we control a cold front or an impending storm that is coming our way? And when the question arises, who can stand before his cold? The rhetorical question and the answer is no. Now, we certainly can do what we can do to stay warm, and we ought to be thankful for that. We're thankful that we can stay warm in cold weather, but we are absolutely defenseless today to defy the cold. And I believe that cold weather ought to remind us of the need for humility. Cold weather and the snow that we have observed ought to remind us to give great honor and glory to the Lord God who made us all. And so today I want us to talk about the snow. I want us to talk about some lessons that we can learn from the snow and the wintry weather. And first of all today, I want us to talk about God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. You know, when we think about the sovereignty of God, we think about the power. We think about the dominion that God possesses. God has absolute power. He has rightful dominion over his creatures. Sovereignty in relation to God means that God has the absolute right to do with his creation exactly what he desires. And there's some verses in the Bible that really emphasize the sovereignty and the power of our God. For example, in Psalms chapter 115 and verse 3, the Bible says, "But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." Or I think about Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, which says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will. In the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can ward off his hand or say to him, 'Why have you done so?'" I think all of us ought to take our Bibles and turn to Job chapter 37 this morning and look at verse 5. The Bible there says in Job 37 and verse 5, "God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, 'Fall on the earth.' Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man that all men whom he made may know it. Then the beasts go into the lairs and remain in the dens. From its chamber comes the whirlwind and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture, and clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. Whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen. Wish we had time today to look at the intricacies of this verse and exactly what all this means and how it points to the sovereignty of our great God. I think about the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Jesus said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, as we think about the wintry weather that we've experienced over the last few days, the cold weather, I want us to think about the sovereignty, the supreme power and dominion of our great God. And I want to challenge you this week as you go about your daily affairs, as you look at all the wonderful things that God has given us, especially in nature, I want you to contemplate the sovereignty of God. We sing that beautiful song sometimes, "Oh, I marvel at the wisdom of my God." We sing that beautiful song, "There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive." How do we react to God today? Do we realize today that it's by the power of God that we're even here? Do we understand today that it's by the Word of God that this earth and this universe came into existence to begin with? It's by the Word of God that things continue as they are. It's by the Word of God that one day this earth and this universe will cease to be no more. The power of God is truly something to behold. And what's even more amazing to me is the fact that this great God, who deserves all the praise and honor and glory, this great supreme being looks down and he cares about me. And he loves me and he loves you, and God wants you and me to one day live with him forever in heaven. That ought to cause us to fall on our knees in awe of the one who made us and who loves us and who sustains us. But you know, as we think about this wintry weather and the snow, another thing that comes to my mind is the fact that I believe we need to always count our blessings. You know, when the cold comes, isn't it wonderful that we can go into a warm house? We have a warm place in which we can stay. God has blessed us so much in a material way. Now, I'm going to be honest about it. I really don't complain that much about the electric bill or the gas bill when it comes. Now, when we've had a lot of cold weather, it can really be rather high sometimes, can it? But then I think about the fact, I think about the idea that I've got a warm house to live in. God has blessed us with great comfort. And not only that, you think about when you consider the snow, the blessings that come from enjoying the snow. I'm sure many of you went out and played in the snow. I've seen various pictures on Facebook of some of you with your children out in the snow, the snowmen that you built. And when it snows like that, the blessing of being together and enjoying the beauty of the snow together is a great blessing. But when I think about the snow, I reflect on the blessings that God has given. But even more importantly than those physical blessings, I think about the spiritual blessings that are ours. For example, in Psalms chapter 23, beginning in verse 1, a very familiar passage, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What wonderful hope we have from a spiritual standpoint because of the love of God and how that love was manifested through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 talks about how that God has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I think about the fact that we today as Christians, we enjoy the forgiveness of our sins. We can live every single day without fear, without anxiety. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 1 and verse 7, continually cleanses us of all sin as we're walking in the light as He is in the light. We don't have to fear what any man does to us, because our future is secure. Our future is sure. We are assured of the victory because Jesus Christ not only gave His life on the cross, but He overcame death. And He became the first fruits of those that sleep. And we ought to be thankful for the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. The hope of heaven, forgiveness, justification, redemption. What a wonderful privilege it is to be a child of God. Another lesson briefly that I think we ought to contemplate in regard to the snow is the fact that we need to be more patient, don't we? I know we live in a fast-paced society. We've got such busy schedules. We've got this to do. We've got that to do. But when a storm comes, a winter storm comes, we have to slow down, don't we? We can't generally keep our accustomed schedule. James 5 and verse 7 talks about the importance of patience. He said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." And then he gives the example there of the farmer, how he waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and late rains. And then James says, "You also be patient." He says, don't grumble against one another, brethren, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed to remain steadfast. He says, you've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. You know, sometimes we think that God ought to work according to our schedule, that God ought to do things in the way that we see fit. But you see, we have to be patient. We have to be patient and let God take care of things in His own way and in His own time. Sometimes when we have to suffer, sometimes when we have heartache and disappointment that comes our way in this life, we have to patiently endure, just like Job endured. And we have to realize that the Lord is compassionate, that He's merciful, that He understands what we're dealing with, and we must patiently endure until the end, putting our faith and trust in God. That's why in Galatians 6 and verse 9 we're told, let's not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But then quickly, we need to realize as well that we also need to proceed with caution. I heard on the news Friday evening that some 60 plus accidents took place. People out on the road thinking they were invincible, getting caught on the ice and sliding every which way, causing havoc on the interstates. That's why we're warned to slow down when there's wintry weather. Be careful. And in our Christian lives today, we need to proceed with caution. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 warns us about our adversary. We need to proceed with caution, realizing that Satan is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We need to make sure that we don't allow pride and arrogance and the attitude of self-sufficiency dominate our thinking. Yet we need to understand that we could fall if we're not cautious and careful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And so the snow, the wintry weather teaches us that we need to be alert. We need to be aware of our adversary. But then the last point briefly that I want to make is the fact that when we think about the snow, we long for something better. I think this is particularly true of those who live in northern states. Can you imagine what it would be like to shovel snow? How many of you, raise your hand if you've ever shoveled snow. Wow, I didn't think you. Usually we don't see that much snow. But for a lot of folks, particularly in the northern part of our country, shoveling snow is a common occurrence during the winter. Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a place where you see snow throughout the entire winter months? And how you long for the spring. You long for the warmth. You long for the new life that springtime will bring. And certainly we long for something better as well. Just like in the wintertime when everything is dead and we long for the new life, we long for that revival. Spiritually speaking, we need to long for something better. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 talks about those great individuals of faith. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. People like Abraham and others who trusted God, they could have returned to their former state if their focus was not on what it needed to be. If they had doubted God, if they had lacked faith in God, Abraham could have returned to Ur of the Chaldees. But the Bible says, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You see, we long for a better place. We long for that place where there will be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. For you see, the former things are passed away. God has prepared us a place. Jesus in John 14 said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24 that we're saved by this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we patiently wait for it. I want you to underline the latter part of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, one of my favorite verses, if not my favorite verse in all the Bible, because it helps us keep our focus where it needs to be. The Bible says the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Now, where's our focus today? Is our focus, is our primary emphasis in life focused on things that we can see, the material things of life, popularity among our friends, success on our job, achieving material things that cannot last? Is our primary focus in life on things that we can see with our eyes? If it is, we need to rethink our priorities. Because the Bible says the things that we see are temporary. They won't last. And if that's your foundation, if that's your focus, then you'll be in for a great disappointment. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why those faithful men of old, those faithful women of old, knew that there was a homeland prepared for them. That's why Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And I hope today that we'll realize that our God is a great God, and he wants what's best for us. And he's told us of the reward that awaits those who are faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Today, I hope you'll think about your soul salvation. I hope you'll think about what it means to be saved, to have your sins washed away. You know, we think about the purity of snow, and sometimes we sing that song, whiter than the snow. And our lives can be made white and clean and pure, free from the stain and guilt of sin, if we will simply obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we will be willing to hear that word and allow that word into our hearts and believe it with all of our hearts and be willing to change our lives to live for God and then to be baptized into Jesus Christ. The purpose of that baptism is to wash away our sins as we contact the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And we can know the joy of being made whole by that blood. Sometimes as children of God, though, we mess up, we make mistakes, we lose sight of our priorities. We too can once again know the joy of salvation as we are willing to recognize our wrongs, as we turn to God and we acknowledge our sins, confess those sins, turn from them and ask God to forgive us in prayer. This morning, the invitation